We are very excited to be here. This is my third service for today. We are excited. And as Paul said, if we are in position to preach the gospel, not because of our own glory, but it's simply because of out of necessity. And we believe there is a word to be preached, and every time we're given the opportunity, we take advantage of it and preach the word of God. And we thank you for accepting us to be your guest speaker for today. And again, as Brother Jin said, my name is John Voltaire. I have been working with the Florida Baptist Convention for a few years now. I started with them as a church planner, and now I am doing what they call a church catalyst for the Haitian churches. And we have about 3,000 churches in the state of Florida, and almost about a little bit over 300 of them are Haitian churches. And we have churches ranging from the Keys all the way to the Panhandle. We have been privileged enough to be able to visit some of the churches, speak for them, and be around them in times of need. And this week I was in Orlando twice, back to back. Got back pretty much almost this morning because we're trying to deal with some church issues. But we are happy that we are here, and we are trusting God. He will lead us. He will bring us to a position where we can continue to do His word and His will. One other thing that I wanted to mention briefly. My wife couldn't be with us today because we have a little one, 9 months. She was being a little bit fussy, and she decided to stay home with her. But please pray for us, especially myself, as I travel around the state. And Florida is a very different state. It's a big state, and it's not all part of Florida is like South Florida. There are a lot of back roads, and there are a lot of different environments in Florida. Please pray, and God will give us wisdom, and as we do the things that we do for His ministry. And because of the same reason that Florida is so different, this is why we have our new executive director of the Florida Baptist Convention, Dr. Tommy Green, and he decided to divide the state into 5 different regions because he felt like these different parts of the state are different in their own right. You know, the food is different, the culture is different. It's almost like as if you're part of 5 different states. Each one of the states has a catalyst. For instance, in the Southeast Florida where we are, Al Fernandez, he probably spoke at First Baptist of Homestead. He's the catalyst for this region. And I am the catalyst for all the Haitian churches throughout the state. And we do different things. For instance, your pastor, Pastor Howard, also served as you probably know, a member of the what they call the State Board of Missions, which is the board that manages or questions or elect to all the things that have to do with the Florida Baptist Convention. Today, as your guest speaker, I would like to look at a particular text which we spoke about this morning. The exception that I will spend more time in one particular verse out of the different verses that we read this morning. If you would open your Bible with me and Old Testament, and I want to make sure I said Old Testament. I know you guys know your Bible, but you'd be surprised I go places and I say books out of the Old Testament and people flipping throughout all the way to Revelation and they still can't find it. But this one is in the Old Testament. We'll be reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll read a group of verses from verse 11 all the way to verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 14. I'll read for you, but I'll read this time in the New International Version, the NIV version, so we can just all follow. This is verse 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land and send a plague among my people, Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and then turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal the land. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for those words. As we getting ready to study your words together, to preach your word. And we don't know the circumstances of everyone in this place. But one thing we know for a fact is that we all come with different issues and different circumstances. But because you are a God who does not change and cannot change and promise that he will not change, we can always rely on you. We can always rely on your mercy. We can always rely on your grace that you will graciously provide for every single one of us, Father, so that we may leave this place encouraged. We may leave this place, Father, with a different perspective. We may leave this place knowing that we are not alone in this world, for we can always count on you. In Jesus' name, your Son, we pray. Amen. This verse that we read last, verse 14, it's a very, very common verse almost everywhere you go. Almost everyone knows this verse. But I just wanted to take some time to look at this particular verse in more detail and see what God can inspire you and inspire me out of this verse. And as we read the verses before that, and we read them simply, we could help put this particular verse in its own context. Because one thing we know for a fact that people tend to do, and we take even the word of God, we would pick a verse out of the Bible, or we would pick a particular conversation, and we put it in our own context so that it fits our particular situation, and we give it a totally different view of what it was intended for or what it's meant for. And we see this in the world, in politics. You watch CNN about one particular news, and you watch Fox about the same thing, and you watch MSNBC. You watch different channels as if they're talking about totally different things because they have different perspective of what it means. They have different understanding, and they're going to go out of their way to make sure that you, as the viewer, you as the person who's getting the information from them, you have the perspective that they have. But it's different with the word of God. We learn very clearly in John 14, 6, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no one can go to the Father but through me. There is no two separate truths. There is not a CNN truth and a Fox truth. There is not an MSNBC truth or Washington Post truth. There is only one truth, and that truth, and we get it only from the word of God, and that truth only comes through Christ himself who died on the cross so that we may also have understanding of what the truth is. And this is what we're trying to look at these words. About 3,000 years ago, God spoke these words to Solomon. And we find out when God commissioned Solomon to build this temple, who Solomon's father, David, who was a great king, wanted to. He could not understand and accept the fact that God, who is the creator, who is the architect of this world, for people to worship God under a tent made out of animal skin. He wanted to build a physical, a permanent place for God so that people could come and worship God. So whenever they're in times of trouble, whenever they're in times of need, they could always go to this place and find God. God gave them the instruction. God gave them the design. God gave them exactly what he wanted the temple to look like or the tabernacle at the beginning. But David collected all the resources. He wanted to build it. But he offended God in the past. God did not reject them. But he was not allowed to build the temple of God. God said, for you have blood in your hands, although you are a man that I see according to my own heart, but I will not allow you to build this temple because for I see blood in your hand. And sometimes what I find through scriptures is that we have been, may have been working with God for a long time, may have been going through all the different mission trips and doing all the good things and do all these things that God wants us to do. But sometimes we find us in position to do things that is not in accordance to God's will and God's word. And God would stop us from doing certain things for him. And that does not necessarily mean that he rejects us from his grace. But he simply would not allow us to move forward with certain things. And now you find Solomon, who is the son of David, who is this great king. And God promised Solomon that you would be the one to build this temple. And we find that Solomon started building the temple about 960 before Christ. So almost 1,000 years before Christ came, Solomon built this temple. And the Bible tells us in the verses where we read in verse 11, God said that Solomon finished the temple. He finished the king's place. And everything was done perfectly. Everything was done nice. It's almost as if when God created the heaven and the earth and God took a step back, he said he was satisfied. Everything looked good. And Solomon took a step back. The temple was well built. The temple was nice. It honored God. And this is why the Bible tells us. In verse 12, it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon at night. And he gave those words to Solomon. And I'm paraphrasing this here. He said, well, although the temple has been done in such a nice ways, although it's a magnificent temple, although it's a great place, which I accept as a place where people can come and worship me, as a place where people can come and offer sacrifices. But yes, I still have a concern. And I can understand, and as I look at this text, and I look at the world, the trouble, the tribulations, and all the chaos, and all the things that we're going through in this world, and I ask myself, and I try to compare, although as much as God was satisfied with Solomon with the temple, but yet he had this concern. God had this thing that he wanted to make sure that Solomon, as the king, as the leader, he understood that. And this is what I feel. Like today, as Christians, although we live in a great country where people seem to do well, but as we look at what's going on around the world, the hate, we look at the violence, the disobedience, the way people are dressed, the way people understand the perception. And sometimes you find perceptions can even be more real than the truth itself. Because sometimes it's not so much about what happens, it's what people think of you. It's what people perceive you. But God is telling me, and he's telling you, if we take time to seek his face, we can make things right again. If we take time to understand the perspective of God's word, we can make things right with God. And in order for us to make things right with God, we have to make sure that we make things right with ourselves. And then we make things right with our neighbors. We make things right with the community. We make things right with our family, with our country. Then we can make things right again with God. And this is why the Bible tells us when God appeared to Solomon, he said, yes, you have finished the temple on time. You have done great these things. But it says in verse 13, if that time were to come, when I would place my judgment, I would cast my punishment, I would make people feel my wrath for going against me. But I want you to know this thing. I want you to understand that God's people are not alone. You are not in this fight all by yourself. For God is a God of justice, is a God of understanding. For God is a God who sees all things and he understands all things. And he's looking for someone who would be willing to listen and seek his face, so that he can bring great things to them. And this is what he said. He said, if I shut up heaven so rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, and or if I send pestilence among my people. And these are all characteristics of God's judgment. Every time God sent things on this planet that hurt people, or whether God allows or watch things to happen, it has to do with God's judgment. And God is not a God of chaos. God is not a God of injustice. God is not a God who does not understand or who does not see or who cannot act. But every time he allows things to happen, it's because he's looking and he's seeking. He's making sure he gets my attention and he gets your attention. This is a country that was founded on the word of God. People who were persecuted because of their faith. People who could not serve God freely. They wanted to find a place where they could come and worship God for who God is. For they wanted to worship God because they know this God is a God who owns the earth all by himself. He didn't buy it from anybody. He didn't borrow it from anybody. But he took time and designed it and created it. This is why he told Job, where were you when I was conceiving, when I was putting this whole thing together? Everything, whether we have a dollar or $100 in our pocket right now, everything says, in God we trust. All our monuments say, in God we trust. Because the very foundation of this home, the very foundation, the very fabric of this country is based on God's principle. But for a long time, because of our own interests, because of our own perception, because of our own grades, because of our own understanding of life, we slowly and slowly edging God out of the very foundation. It's like you build this place, and then for whatever reason, you decide to start removing every brick from underneath of it. You started pulling out every anchor. You started pulling out everything. And it's only a matter of time for the foundation to collapse. And this is exactly what we see as we see the chaos, as we see the trouble, the tribulations in our society. And people tend to refer this. People tend to give all these ideas, and politicians give all these suggestions how we can bring unity, how we can bring people together. But one thing we find that it's not so much social injustice, it's not so much racial tension, but it's a problem of sin. It's a problem of people not taking God for what God is anymore. It's a problem for people rejecting God on a massive way. The whole society is rejecting God in a way. God is trying to find your attention, and this is why we're asking you today to seek God's face. Because once you find God's face, good thing will happen. The Bible tells us, like, when Moses spent 40 days in the presence of God on Mount, by the time Moses came back down, people were afraid of him because he had this glow. He was shining. Because he spent so much time in the presence of God, and he becomes almost a God to those people who are down in the valley. And this is what happens when you spend so much time outside of God's presence. When you spend so much time outside of God's face, you tend to start doing things according to your own understanding. You tend to do things according to your own desire. You tend to do things according to own ways that you have as a person which has a sinful nature. But when you start coming back closer to God, you started seeing things again in the light of the word of God. You started seeing things in the light of God. This is why the Bible said it's important that we seek God's face. And this is why, as we continue going down, the Bible tells us that God pronounced these words to David, to Solomon. But this is most importantly in verse 14, which we want to spend a little time. It says, when that time comes, yes, there will be punishment. Yes, there will be chaos. Yes, there will be trouble. Yes, there will be circumstances. Yes, there will be tribulations. But I want you to understand, you are not just anybody. You are God's people. You are God's called people. You are not just someone who just happened to be in this world for no objective whatsoever, but you are God's people. The Bible tells us in verse 14, if my people, and I know the immediate context of this verse, God was referring to the people of Israel at the time. Those whom he chose to be his people so that he could accomplish his will. But today, in a today context, we're looking at God's people, just like the Bible tells us in John 1. For he came to his own people that did not receive them. Now, whoever believes in him, whoever accepts him, he gives them the power and authority to become children of God. Now, I'm understanding that God is talking to his church. God is talking to First Baptist of Homestead. He's talking about the community, the family. Now, if we, who are the people of God, if we see things differently, we can bring change about. Change that the Republican Party cannot bring. Change that the Democrats cannot bring. Change that the independents cannot bring, but change that only Christ himself can bring. But we as the church, we as people of God, there has to be a paradigm shift. There has to be a mind, a changing in the mind so that we can bring this understanding in our country. This is what the Bible is teaching us. It says, if my people were to do these things, and God is not just talking about anybody. He said, if my people whom I called by my name, basically those who are testifying. And I like how Romans 8, verse 29 talks about those God pre-knew. Those God knew in advance how he predestined them. So that they could look like the first son, which is Christ himself. So this is what I understand. If the church today were to start acting like God's people, if the church could start acting more like God's people rather than political partisans, then we could make a difference. And this is what he says, if my people would do these things. Now, we see seven things that need to take place in this verse. There are seven things. And these seven things are not a list of seven things. There is a condition. There is a condition. There will be four things you and I have to do. So if we do these four things as God people, and God promise you, he will do the other three things. And these are seven actions that need to be taken place. But we have to be willing to be intentional about those. We have to take responsibility. We have to understand. We have to identify ourselves as God's people so that we can take these steps so that God in return can do the things that he promised he will do. And this is what the Bible says. The first thing it says, if we are people of God, would be willing to humble ourselves. We live in a society today where pride is the way to go. You know, the more boastful you are, the more prideful, it seems like the more relevant you have. As a society where people find pride in almost everything. And because those who tend to be the role models for us, that's what they set. It's who has the biggest place, who has the nicest car, who has the most expensive jewelry, because we take pride in these things. And we know from the beginning, we know what happened to the angel of light, Lucifer. It was because of pride. This is why Paul makes sure he writes a lot about pride, how we have to make sure as Christians, we make sure that we do not leave room in our lives for pride. And this is why when God was using Paul so mightily, and people at one point thought that Paul was God himself, the Bible said that God did something specific for Paul. Not only that, he put this illness in him, whom he prayed like three times to be healed. And also God put this evil angel to persecute him so that he would know he's still a man. He's not God. He can never be God, for God is God alone. And Paul prayed three times, God, please make me feel better. God said, no. My grace is sufficient because God knows it's a nature that is in man. Man tends to be boastful. Man tends to be prideful. But God said, if we would leave our pride behind, if we would leave our racial tensions behind, if we would leave how much money we have in the bank behind, if we would leave the education we have behind, but we would humble ourselves, not before man, but before God, things will make a difference. We have to understand it's not about you this morning, but it's about God. For the Bible says, man will pass. Things of this world will pass, but God alone stays eternal. So this is what the Bible teaches us. First, we need to humble ourselves. We need to take responsibility for our actions and humiliate ourselves and come down and bring ourselves down and reconcile with our brothers and our sisters, reconcile with our pastors, with our church leaders, and understand that it's about God. When we reconcile, we can see the glory of God in things that we do. We need to humble ourselves. And sometimes there are people who manifest some, what you would call like a false humility. Because you pretend to be, there are people at church or at home or within a community, they may not say much because they're not big talkers, because they don't talk a lot. That does not make them humble, because they are not loud. Certain cultures tend to be louder than others. But because you are not as loud, that does not make you humble. Because humility is not so much about what you say, but it's mostly about what you do. It's how you behave, how you carry yourself, how you treat people next to you, how you understand. Does it reflect the love of God? Does it reflect exactly what Jesus himself would do? But God is asking us today to humble ourselves. Not only that we need to walk in humility, but also we have to make sure, secondly, that we start spending some time in prayer. We need to pray intentionally. We need to pray deliberately. We need to pray for things that matter. We need to pray for things that will bring glory of God to this society. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray so that God can alone be God of this country, so God can be God of this world again. We need to pray. We don't just pray, Father, please bless the food. But when you pray, you have to be intentional. Think of those. Think of these things that could bring what we need as a nation, and go before God and cry out your heart before God. And God says clearly, when you speak, when you seek, when you ask for him, he will show up. God is not a politician that make promises that he can't hold. God does not make promises that he can't keep together after one term or two terms. God will always be God, and he's sovereign. Whatever he says with his mouth, and he can guarantee you, his hand will see it come to pass. And he says, not only if you humble yourself, but if you pray. And we said earlier today, survey shows or statistics shows us that evangelical Christians only spend an average of about 10 minutes a day in prayer. And maybe you and I can testify to this. As we waking up early at 6 o'clock to go to a 9 o'clock shift going to work, and sometimes it's in the car, Father, you know everything's in your hand. And then on our way back again, when we get home, we bless the food. Do we spend time praying? Praying for our community that's hurting. Praying for our churches that are in decline. Praying for God's sovereign kingdom to be in action in our society. This is what we need to pray. We have to be intentional in our prayers. Pray for what matters. And we don't only have to pray, but the Bible says that we have to seek God's face. Because the Bible says clearly, outside of God is chaos, is trouble, is tribulation, is problem. And this is why we say that we need to seek God's face again, because all the troubles that we see in the land, in all the circumstances, it's because people tend to go back to their sinful nature rather than seeking God's face. Because those who are in God's presence will produce fruits of God's love. You will not need a politician to tell you how to behave, or some type of a human authority to tell you how to carry yourselves. For you know what's in you is greater than what anybody else in this world could tell you. But you have to be willing to seek for that person. And sometimes in seeking God's face, it's not just put your head up in the sky like the psalm saying, look on the mountain for God. But it means that you need to spend time alone with God. You need to spend time in the Word. The Word, the Bible, is the Word of God. If you don't spend time meditating, if you don't spend time reading the Word of God, it will be very difficult to find God's face. You need to spend time, and through the Word of God, God would speak to you, and God would enable you to understand the situation that you're going through, the solutions that you need, and the steps that you need to take in order to make a difference. This is why you need to seek his face. And he says, not only that, thirdly, you have to seek his face, but fourth and lastly, the things that you need to do, he says, we have to turn away from our evil wills, from our wicked ways. No group is more wicked than another. It's a man thing. It's a human nature. Man is inherently evil. And this is why we all need salvation. This is why we all, whether you black, you white, whether you Hispanics or you Asian, every man has the heart that is evil. And Paul himself says that every time he tries to do what's good, but the evil thing always comes. Because we try to satisfy ourselves. This is why we have to look for God. This is why we have to seek God. Because no man can save himself. And this is why woman fishes. He says, for every man is a sinner. And he says, the wage of sin is death. Because we're all sinners. Then we have to seek God. And he says, if we do all these things, we humble ourselves, first of all. And secondly, he says that we don't only humble ourselves, we also pray, spend time in prayer. And we don't only pray as a church, but also we make sure that we seek God's face and discern, basically make a U-turn. This is what, there has to be a paradigm shift. And this is what Paul teaches in Romans 12. There has to be a renewing of the mind. There have to be an understanding that helps us see things differently. Yes, this is the way you were raised. Yes, this is the way you have been brought up. But you are not the same person you are anymore. This is what 2 Corinthians teaches us. Now you are a new creature. You are a new person. Yes, this was taught to you. Yes, this was given to you. Yes, you've been asked to do this. But what will you do as a new person? There has to be a different understanding. This is what the Bible says. We have to turn back from our old ways. And when we do this, God promised that he will do the following three things. And you have to ask yourself today, do we as a society have the need for these things? And if we have the need for these things, then it is imperative that you and I, starting today, we start doing these things. We try to humble ourselves. We pray not just individually, but pray collectively as a church. Pray for our community, pray for our people, and pray for our leaders. We don't only do this, but we also make sure that we seek God's face and turn from our evil ways. Then once we do this, God promised the three things he will do. First, he will listen. You need God to listen. You need God to hear your voice. And sometimes we can speak to people around us as much as we want. You go, you tell the doctor, you tell the counselor, you tell the husband, you tell the wives, and those of us who probably have teenagers at home, you tell them over and over, but it almost, there is no one listening. Politicians make promises, but it's almost like they didn't listen. You ask, you cry, you beg, but no one seems to listen. But God promised, if you were to humble yourself, but he will listen. And God, when he listens, he understands. When he understands, he will take action. And I would much rather have God in my camp today taking action on my behalf. And he says, not only firstly, he will listen, but secondly, he will forgive. And this is what all of us need, forgiveness. For we all have sinned. We all have said things that offended people. We all have done things that were more less than kind. We all have gone places maybe we shouldn't have gone. We all have different views and understanding that did not please God. But it's not just about fornication or adultery or killing or social injustice. But there are things that we do that are in our nature that are not pleasing to God. But he says, regardless of what these things are, if you tell them and you do these four things, first, he will listen to you. Carefully, he will listen to you. And secondly, he will forgive whatever that situation may be. He will forgive the son. And this is what those of us maybe who had been born and raised in the church, you can never understand why you spend your entire life trying to please God. But at the end of the day, a person who was living this gangster life and doing all this thing, they just walked into church and we said that God accept them just as much as he accept you. But this is the God we serve. It says, regardless of what the sin is, regardless of what the situation is, if you come to him, he will not only listen, but also he will forgive. Not only he will forgive, but also he will bring what we need the most. He will bring healing. Would you not want to see your country heal? Would you not want to see your family heal? Would you not want to see your church heal? And healing can mean different things to different people this morning. It can mean different things to different countries, to different societies. But one thing that is certain, we all need some time of healing this morning. It could be things that have been going on for a long time in the family. It could be things that have been going on a long time in the church. It could be things that are going on within our own society. But we all need healing. As we're getting ready to close this morning, and I'm asking you, if you feel like you are in need of God's healing, let's do these things. And when we do these things, and God promised you, He will not let you hang dry. He will come to your rescue. He will keep His word. He will keep His promise. But first, let's humble ourselves. Second, let's pray intentionally, whether individually or collectively. We need to pray God. Let's seek His face. Let's spend time in the word and be in His presence. And third, fourth, let's just try to do everything that we can so we can turn away from the things that bother us, the things that are not pleasing to God. And God promised He will listen. He will heal. Is there someone like this this morning? I'm asking you. Don't. We have leaders of the church. Myself, I'll be glad to pray with you, pray for you. And if there is anybody this morning who's hurting in any kind of ways, or he's looking for some kind of unity, who's looking for some kind of change in mind or perspective or understanding, this is the time. It's not promised what tomorrow will be. The church where my family served, a couple weeks ago, there was a mother who called me, and she was screaming and wailing on the phone. She said, "John, God is abandoning me today." And I asked her, "What? Could you take some time to speak?" And I could not hear her clearly because she was crying so badly. And she said she has a 21-year-old son who had been working at a Pizza Hut, and he quit the job to go work at Miami-Dade. And he didn't want to just walk away from the job. He went back to his old job to tell them that he's not coming back because he had found a new job at the college where he goes. But while he was standing in front of the job, a car just drove straight through and killed him instantly. And I'm sure this young man, he had all his life planned out before him. He wanted to finish college. He wanted to be married. We need to become a professional, do the things that matter for him. But God had His plan. And I think today, more than ever, God has placed me and you in a position where we can make a difference. We have to take advantage of it. Don't worry about tomorrow or what people may think or understand. But what matters most is what you have been commissioned to do, and are you willing and ready to do what God is trusting you to do? You want to come forward today? Anybody want to come forward? So getting ready to close and pray. God bless you.